thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. As always, thanks so much for listening and for joining me today. If you haven't had the chance yet to listen to my mini-series on cancel culture and public education, I would encourage you to give it a shot. Regardless of where you may fall on those issues, I think it can serve as a helpful spark for thought and conversation, even if you aren't a classical liberal like myself. This week's episode will be the first part of a two-part podcast on the contemporary deconstruction movement, which has become very popular on social media in recent years. As a Christian thinker, I wanted to give my take on the issue. But once again, please use this podcast as a guide to think freely for yourself on the topic and to draw your own conclusions. I'm going to start out today's episode with an illustration from the beloved Disney movie, Wreck-It Ralph. In the video game Fix-It Felix Jr., the passionate and quick-tempered Wreck-It Ralph demolishes buildings with his bare hands. As the antagonist or bad guy in the arcade game, Wreck-It Ralph is ostracized from his peers, forced to live and sleep all alone in a mass garbage dump made of bricks and smashed building parts. For better or worse, this is the bed that Ralph made, and he must now lie in it. This is the house that he built, or better yet, deconstructed, and he must now live in it. On the other hand, Fix-It Felix is the good guy and the consummate hero in the video game. He is Mr. Perfect, the do-it-all repairman who was adored by his peers and can do no wrong. In contrast to Wreck-It Ralph, Felix lives in a high-end apartment building constructed and repaired with his magic hammer, sleeping in a pristine, top-of-the-line penthouse. Felix enjoys the fruit of his constant labor and upkeep, dwelling in ideal living conditions. But maybe Felix's lifestyle is too perfect. What if he's building a facade? Does the reality match the perception and the appearance? Is he able to live up to the heavy and burdensome expectations that have been placed on him? Deconstructionism, or deconstruction, has become a super trendy topic on social media in recent times. If you search for the popular hashtag on your favorite social media platform, you will see a ton of different memes, videos, and presentations on the topic. You will probably also find that this hashtag is often paired with other hashtags, like ex-evangelical, ex-Christianity, ex-holiness or ex-purity, ex-fundy, and progressive Christianity. This displays both the broadness and the variance of the term and the movement. For some, it's a deconstruction of evangelicalism. For others, it's a deconstruction of certain forms of evangelicalism, fundamentalism, and the holiness movement. And still for others, it's a deconstruction of Christianity as a whole. In general, I think it's really important to recognize the broadness and diversity of both deconstructionism and Christianity. Not all deconstructionists are the same, and not all Christians are the same. There's a wide range of experience and background represented in the deconstruction movement, and there's a huge range of experience and background represented in a global world religion like Christianity. So I think it's wise to avoid making sweeping statements like, all deconstructionists are like this, or all Christians are like this. We shouldn't just put individuals in neat little boxes, And I would also encourage you not to put yourself in a neat little box. Everyone's life journey is different. Some people move from Christianity to a deconstruction of Christianity. Others move from deconstructionism to Christianity. Some theists end up atheists. Some atheists end up theists. Some Christians become non-Christians. Some non-Christians become Christians. We also all begin at different places. Some Christians start out at a place of immaturity and therefore need quite a bit of time to develop and grow, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Whereas some Christians start out at a place of maturity, and the need for growth is therefore much more subtle. The same can be said for deconstructionists. In my opinion, there are three main types of deconstructionists. First, you have the arsonist. He lives to burn all structures down, and what's left are just ashes upon ashes, an uninhabitable setting, without a home to live in, or a foundation to build on. Second, you have the gentrifier. This is the deconstructor who demolishes an old and unfruitful structure and replaces it with something new and shiny. And third, you have the renovator. This deconstructor seeks to repurpose or reclaim a rickety and damaged home or dwelling place. Let me be clear and transparent from the outset. I am a kind of deconstructionist. In fact, I would fall under the third type of deconstructionism that I just mentioned. But I'm not all that comfortable taking on the label for myself for a variety of reasons. Mainly because I don't like being put in a box, and I don't like other people representing me and speaking for me. I would much rather speak for myself, and I would much rather be myself. I feel the same exact way about the label evangelicalism. Though I share some common values and common beliefs, I don't necessarily want to be associated with all that contemporary evangelicalism represents. My personal journey, my existential history, is a journey from immature Christianity to deconstructionism to Reconstructionism and mature Christianity. I talk about this more in depth in my Thinker Sensitive video trailer, which you can find on YouTube. I would greatly encourage you to watch the whole thing, as it shares my history, my interests, my values, and why I believe Thinker Sensitive is so important. In that video, I talk about the value of possessing a base skepticism. I talk about the value of critical thinking and critical questioning. I talk about the value of self-criticism. And I talk about the importance of having the courage to face difficult and inconvenient truths. These are all values that are found, in one way or another, and to one degree to another, in deconstructionism. Overall, when reflecting on the hashtags that are often associated with the deconstruction movement, my journey of renovation involved a deconstructing of many of the fundamentalist and holiness elements of Christianity, and a reconstruction of classical, orthodox, ecumenical, and critical Reformation Christianity. When I say Reformation, I'm referring to the prophetic spirit of the Reformation, not necessarily Reformed or Calvinist doctrine. So my experience could fall under the category of the ex-fundy and ex-holiness hashtags. With that said, I don't think I would ever use those hashtags as a personal designation for myself and my experience. This is because I don't necessarily agree with the spirit of those hashtags. I find them to be overly polemical and antagonistic. I find them to be divisive. I also tend to think that we should focus more on what we believe in than on what we don't believe in. We should focus more on what we profess than on what we reject. Another way of saying this is that I think we should emphasize our construction and reconstruction rather than our deconstruction. There are two main categories of people that I see engaging in these debates on social media. These two categories are admittedly quite simplistic. They're reflections of extremes on both sides. I'm using them for rhetorical purposes and for the sake of argument. Referring back to my opening illustration, you have the Wreck-It Ralphs on one side, those deconstructing Christianity, and the Fix-It Felixes on the other, those defending Christianity from deconstructionism. When I see the posts from both sides and reflect on the interactions between these two camps, I think, once again, that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I say once again because if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I'm a mediating thinker who likes to find the middle ground in order to build bridges and foster constructive dialogue. So my stance here should be of no surprise to anyone. The truth of the matter is that, at least in my personal and subjective opinion, there are many aspects of the church, of biblical interpretation, of spiritual superstition, and of religious tradition that can be, or even should be, deconstructed or demythologized. At the same time, there are also many aspects of Christianity, scripture, church history, and the faith passed down that can be, or even should be, commended and recommended. I think the Wreck-It Ralphs are too focused on the negative, to the point that many of them can't see any of the positives, whereas the Fix-It Felixes are only focused on the positives and are unwilling to acknowledge any negatives, trying to maintain a perfect ideal that doesn't actually exist. When people are on the attack, they tend to have a very limited and narrow focus, becoming blind to counterarguments and counterfactuals. They're seeing red, and that's the only color that they want to see. On the other hand, when people are under attack, they tend to dig in and double down, no matter the consequences, falling into a state of denial, just plugging their ears and yelling gibberish until the prosecution rests. Before I dig into a list of reasons as to why so many people have felt the need to deconstruct Christianity, I want to mention that deconstructionism is nothing new. People have been deconstructing belief since the dawn of human beliefs. One could argue that the history of philosophy is a history of deconstruction, starting with the pre-Socratics, moving to Plato, to Descartes, to the Enlightenment, and to the postmodern and post-critical thinking of our day. In terms of modern Christianity, you have the classical liberal theology of Friedrich Schleiermacher, the demythologizing of scripture in Rudolf Bultmann, and even the Death of God movement in the 1960s. So deconstruction of belief is not a new thing. But what is the reason or reasons for the contemporary deconstruction movement? Why are so many people my age today deconstructing Christian belief and practice? There are several reasons for this, and I will unpack these and flesh these out in some detail on next week's episode. Until then, enjoy the sunshine and the fresh spring air. This episode, and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive, are available on thinkersensitive.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app today to listen to more thought-provoking content from Thinker Sensitive.